Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Joe Champion and Star Sports Glenn Day looking ahead to the start of 3 weeks of very interesting action. We've got the Northern Trust Open featuring most, if not all, the world's top players. And it's the start of a three-week program, I suppose, process that will yield eventually the Tour Champion. Joe, before we get into who's going to win this week, just take us through the next 3 weeks, because obviously the golf calendar's undergone a really big rehash this year, hasn't it? We've had all the majors done and dusted by July. And that was to make way, wasn't it, so that the FedEx Cup, or whatever it's called, got the kind of limelight before it got lost in all the NFL and everything, wasn't it? That's roughly the thinking
exactly
behind it.
Yeah.
So where are we now, and where will we be 3 weeks hence?
Well, we've now got three tournaments instead of four for a start. That's one thing we should say. The Dell Technologies Championship, that's gone. So we've now got the Northern Trust this week at Liberty National, which we'll cover in a bit, and then the BMW at Medina.
And how many go through to that?
70 go through.
So we've got 122 now.
Yeah.
Top 70 go through to...
Top 70 will go through. That will include Paul Casey, who's not playing this week, but he is eighth on the list, whereas Henrik Stenson and Sam Burns, they're out. They're not going to play this week. They won't get through to the...
Why is Casey allowed through?
Casey's eighth, so you don't have to play every week if you don't want to.
God, I'm confused already, and it gets worse, doesn't it? So what happens when we get to the Tour Championship?
Now, this might be chaos. The new format sees the leader of the FedEx Cup standings after the BMW... they'll start the tournament at 10 under. The guy in second starts 8 under, third 7 under, fourth 6 under, fifth at 5 under. And then from then on it's staggered. So 6th to 10th will be 4 under and so on from...
Okay, I get that, because what they're trying to escape is a situation where the person who wins the last tournament gets all the money, and they may have been lurking, you know, right on the bubble.
As Justin Rose did last year.
Okay, but Glenn... This has the potential to cause absolute bloody carnage, doesn't it? Because what we're basically saying is that for the Tour Championship in 2 weeks' time, 30 runners are in it, but they'll all have different starts. So, you know, presumably the official PGA leaderboard will take those into account, but punters actually just want to bet on the player that shoots the lowest 72-hole score. So I'm not really looking forward to this one. It could be a little bit confusing, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Very messy. But, I mean, as you look at the leaderboard on a Sunday, you just need another column next to it with that already taken into account. Obviously, one tournament, one FedEx would solve everything.
Yeah, but what if they don't provide that, Glenn, which I'm not sure they will.
Yeah. No, but that will be the way. I mean, obviously, we're looking at it from a betting perspective as well. They won't, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what they're going to come up with.
Would you expect in play, would you expect to be betting the winner of the tournament or the winner of the FedEx Cup?
The winner of the tournament, because it can be messy. And, yeah, the changes and how the players are going to approach it, depending on where they are in the tournament with the handicap, if you like. You know, it does make for a very messy scenario.
Yeah, so you could actually have a guy winning the tournament who on the leaderboard is kind of fourth or fifth. I guess the bookmakers' websites will all have to be very good at updating their leaderboards to be kind of net, if you like, rather than net, so not taking into account the head starts. Anyway, we've got no such confusion this week. We've got a fantastic tournament. Before we look ahead to this one, though, a quick recap on what we had last week, the Wyndham Championship. Poor old Steve was looking for back-to-back wins, but Webb Simpson got off to a terrible start on Sunday. Couldn't quite get there and failed by 1-2. A guy who you've been putting up a bit, Joe, a couple of times when you've been on the podcast, and it's JT Poston. Got it done in very calm fashion, didn't he?
Yeah, very good player, I think. And he's been, seen glimpses of form here and there that suggested that he was someone who had the ability to win on the PGA Tour. And yeah, a great final round to just blow them all away, really. And
did you back him?
Catch him? I didn't, unfortunately.
Oh, come on, Joe, you've been backing him all year.
No, I backed Webb Simpson, obviously. That was my only bet last week. And I thought he was going to win going into the final round. He looked all over it. And then
poxy start,
back
wasn't
to back bogeys, absolute nightmare from Webb. And, you know, he's surely going to win something soon, but he just can't seem to get over the line at the moment.
Always nice, isn't it, when they get themselves out of contention and then come with a wet sun and lose by one to rub it in.
Happens all the time, doesn't it?
It does. I guess JT Poston beating Webb Simpson would have been a lot better for Star Sports and the rest of the betting industry than Webb Simpson beating JT Poston, wouldn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say last week, it seemed like every third bet was for Webb Simpson. That was before Steve put him up. So, If he got over the line, it would have been a disastrous result. One thing you didn't mention there, though, Joe, I'm obviously post them winning bogey free for the tournament. Yeah. First time anyone's done that for 46 years, I think.
Lee Trevino, wasn't it?
Lee Trevino, back in the day, yeah, before we were all born.
Have you, well, not quite, have you put JT, I'm sure JT Poston's been on your radar a couple of times as well, Glenn, hasn't he?
I don't think I've mentioned him on here, but yeah, he's been on the radar, but yeah, very inconsistent.
You only let yourself have 8 selections last week, didn't you? You can't tip them all, can you, mate?
I couldn't squeeze another one in, I know.
Who was the best of the 8?
Well, Victor Hovland, even though I put him in at 7, I had to include him. He played the best. He's the player for me to take out the tournament again. I mean,
he's really good, isn't he? Really
he's
good.
He's got everything. Literally got everything. I was a little bit, still a little bit unsure with his short patting. Perhaps from inside 5 feet, he looks a little bit iffy, whether they're for birdies or pars, but everything else, his long game's fantastic. And I mean, if he doesn't win in the next 6 months, I'd be absolutely amazed.
Seems like a nice bloke as well, doesn't he? I just, when you see his interviews, smile. He's not one of these serious, horrible, robotic, sense of entitlement golfers you get these days. I like the look of him.
Very happy in the Butler cabin at the Masters, didn't he? He was chatting away.
Damn right.
He's going to go to the Korn Ferry Tour finals next week.
What is the Korn Ferry Tour?
It's web.com.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Web.com have pulled out?
Yeah.
What's Korn Ferry? Is it?
It's a big finance company.
Is it? Like it's not an actual ferry that chugs
around. No. But he's going to go off probably a short price to win the first of their playoff events next week. He only needs to finish in the top 25 in the playoffs money list to get his PGA Tour card next year.
Well, let's hope he does, because he looks really good. And talking of smiley, happy people, the Japanese girl who won the British Open, she was brilliant. Did you watch any of that?
I saw a bit of that, yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant. Oh, it was absolutely superb. She's come from nowhere, and she's nailed this. I mean, her putt to win it on 18 was ridiculous. She's hit it so hard. If it hadn't gone in, it would have de-greened, and she would have blown it. But afterwards, Sarah Sturck's interviewing her via the interpreter, and she's asking all questions and he's translating and she's coming out with all these normal answers. And then she says, you know, how are you feeling now? And she sort of says something to the interpreter, and the interpreter very solemnly says, I was nervous when I was playing, but I'm even more nervous now and I'm just trying not to vomit. It was brilliant. Came out of nowhere. It was good, that wasn't it?
More of that rather than these robots.
Absolutely. What price was she, Glenn?
250 to 1.
Amazing.
I mean, yeah, no one's probably ever heard of her. I mean, she'd won twice in Japan, I believe, this year. Obviously, I don't know that, what they said. She'd never played outside of Japan, so just an amazing performance.
And, really was.
Yeah, like I say, really happy-go-lucky young girl. So, yeah, fair play to her.
And I've got one more question for you, lads. I looked at Woburn, and I've been lucky enough to play there. Why do we play the British Open at horrible, boring seaside courses when you've got this lovely, beautiful, pristine inland course, Woburn? Glenn, why can't we play our Open inland?
No idea, but we've got this thing there everywhere, like this week as well, where they want to take these events all over the place. They don't seem to stay necessarily in the same place. I know this one stays in the New York, New Jersey area, but they go around 3 or 4 different courses, and that seems to be the same thing with us, doesn't it? Obviously, the Open.
It's always a link. Why does it need to be a link?
It's always a link, but they move it up and down.
You know, preoccupied with tradition, aren't they? That's the problem.
But wouldn't it be lovely for once for it to be somewhere different?
I agree.
Wentworth or Woburn or Loch Lomond or somewhere like that. I think it'd be absolutely brilliant.
Field at Wentworth this year as well.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Where would you have it, Glenn, if you could have it at any course in Britain?
That's a toughie. Blimey, you've really blown me away there.
Not that hard. I just think of a nice golf course.
Yeah, there's so many good courses. I'm not a fan of, I mean, some people say St Andrews, the home and golf, but I don't like St Andrews because it's generally too easy. So
they're all the same. They're all the same, mate. They're all the same. Get them in, man. Right, anyway, enough of that. Let's look ahead to the Northern Trust Open. It takes place at Liberty National Jersey Golf Club on the banks of the River Hudson. It's a right old star-studded field. What's the tournament rating this week, Glenn?
Not surprisingly, a 9. I mean, it's probably stronger than a major, in all honesty. I mean, you get all those qualifiers for the US Open, the PGA. All these guys have earned the right to be there through what they've achieved on the tour this year. So probably stronger than a major, with the exception of a couple of guys.
Absolutely. Right then, what's the latest betting from Star Sports, Glenn?
We've got 8-1 Brooks Koepka, 11-1 Rory McIlroy, 16-1 Dustin Johnson and John Rahm, 18-1 Justin Thomas, 20-1 Justin Rose, 22-1 Patrick Cantlay, 25-1 Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, Tommy Fleetwood and Webb Simpson, and 28-1 Xander Schauffele.
Joe, what sort of test is it?
It's a real ball strikers track. This, you want, you know, your crisp hitters to thrive around here. Greens aren't very big either, so you know, anyone that can find the fairways and then get on. It's quite a long course, really. Par 71, 7,370 yards. So you still need to be able to hit the ball a long way, and then finding the greens will be key. And yeah, so it's not going to be a putting contest like we had at Wyndham last week. Anyway, you know, weather-wise, it's quite an exposed layout, but this week not a lot of forecast winds, so you can expect the scoring to go a bit lower. You know, we play the Barclays here in 2009. Heath Slocum won at 9 under. Four years later, Adam Scott won at 11 under. Expected to go a bit lower this time round because the winds aren't going to be kicking up like they were then.
Heath Slocum, I wonder what happened to him. Glenn, do you and all your buddies at work who follow golf, do you give golfers nicknames?
Broadcastable, really.
Heath Slocum was always Mrs. after Mrs. Slocum out of Are You Being Served. I've forgotten all about him. Right then, anyway, Kupka favourite, 8-1. So very competitive. How many are you putting up, Glenn?
Four.
So it's four each, isn't it? Right, Glenn, first one, main selection.
I'm going for the jolly, Brooks Koepka, Mr. Major, as he's now known. Adapts his game to any course he plays. I think that's going to be a key. Won the US Open in 2017, Aaron Hills, when everyone said he bullied the track. A year later, he defended, becoming the first player to do so for 30 years at a completely different track at Pinehurst, where the winning score was one over. Different skill set required there. This year in the PGA at Bethpage Black, a course where they said no one would go low. He got it to 14 under par for 3.5 rounds, head and shoulders above everybody else. A late wobble, saw the lead reduce, but deservedly won. Primarily a fader at a golf ball. We saw him get out the draw at Bethpage to show that he's adapted that part to his game as well. We know he covets the majors, now added a WGC event to his CV, where on the final day, obviously, he went head to head with Rory. Rory wasn't up to the task. He just blew him away. I'm sure he'd like to add a FedEx Cup title to his list of honours as well. Win this week would also, as we said, securing top spot in the rankings and that two-shot cushion at Eastlake in the Tour Championship.
I'll tell you what, Glenn, the change of schedule this year probably suits Koepka, doesn't it? Because he admits he doesn't really get excited for anything bar the majors, but he can kind of come off the back of the British Open and then stay on the boil just to the end of this and then go and do fishing or whatever he likes, can't he? So he's liable not to be demotivated, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Steve obviously mentioned that last week when he put him up, that, you know, people were suggesting that he wouldn't be up for non-majors. A WGC event is, you know, just off of that. Played well. And the week gap in between is going to suit him. He obviously likes a week. I know he said he likes to play the week before a major, but he didn't before the US Open. Still played well. So he's coming off of a win with a gap to do whatever he wants to do. And then and I think he's about to show how consistent he can be, and he could be about to dominate the world of golf for me.
Yeah,
I think I'll throw in there if I can. Generally, players that have played well around here, they show up in a variety of categories, which obviously are going to suit Koepka. Yeah, if you need a guy that can hit it long off the tee, hit greens in regulation, putt well, he'd be high on your list for any or all of those. Obviously, figures very highly in all the stats this year. The tee to green. Strokes gained tee to green is the most relevant stat, and he ranks 9th on that this season. Okay. He has had a good playoff record up to this point. Tied 8th, tied 12th, tied 19th, tied 26th last year. But he's finished 4th and 8th in his last two events as well in New Jersey. So, I mean, obviously, we'll know his game's in great shape. He is the number one golfer on the planet, and he can go back-to-back for a third victory of the year.
Very convincing case for the jolly there, Glenn. Are you going to tip the jolly, Joe?
No, Glenn's made a very good case for him, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm very convinced.
It's hard not to make a good case for Brooks Koepka. The guy is just so good, isn't he? And you know, he's going to win plenty more titles, probably plenty more majors. And I can swerve him this week at the prices, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he went and won, because sort of track where he will thrive.
Isn't this the sort of tournament, Joe, where even if you're not actually tipping him, it's worth sticking a few quid on just so that if he wins, you don't lose? 8-1, yeah, you don't have to have too much on, do you? If you're laying out, if your bets this week are 20 quid, and you stick £2.50 on Brooks at 8-1. Then if he wins, you've come out of it without losing. Otherwise, if he goes, you wake up on Saturday morning and he's 7 shots clear, you just, oh God, I should have backed him. Who are you putting up?
I'm putting up Justin Rose as my best bet, the reigning FedEx Cup champion, as we spoke about earlier. I mean, it was all about Tiger at the Tour Championship last year, wasn't it? But just there, whilst Tiger was celebrating, Justin Rose rolled in a clutch birdie putt to seal the $10 million bonus. And, he's not had a fantastic year this year, but I think part of the problem is that he got caught up in the battle to be world number one at the start of the season, alongside Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. But yeah, recent weeks he's been good. He was tied third at the US Open at Pebble and fourth at the Open going into the final round. And then he wasn't the only person to get completely caught up in the weather. It was chaos out there at Portrush, wasn't it? An 11th last time at the St. Jude should have him spot on for this. Glenn talked about strokes game from tee to green. There aren't many better tee to green operators on the tour than Justin Rose. And the 2013 piece of form here, I think, could be key, and Justin Rose was runner-up to Adam Scott. He typically putts at his best on Bermuda grass greens, which is what he's going to get here. 7 of his 10 US Tour titles, they came on Bermuda. So, Justin Rose, I think he's got a great chance this week.
And, lovely. Okay, that was very convincing as well.
To put up a good bid to try and retain the title, FedEx Cup.
Okay, who are your other three then, Glenn?
Second up, I'm going to go, I think this is the sixth tour on the bounce where one of us are putting up, Webb Simpson. Done everything but win recently. 3 second places and 2 solid performances in between at the US Open and the Open.
It's not like those seconds. Sometimes you see a load of seconds. It's like with racehorses. You think they're a dodge pot or they've bottled it or they've choked. But he hasn't done that at all, has he? He's always found one too good.
I mean, obviously, second behind Koepka the other week. Not really in contention to win for a little while in the last round. Last week, a sloppy start, but got himself back into it. Just probably outplayed in the end by Possum. Got beat a shot, there's none of that. Head in the air sort of scenario. Recent performances have all been built around solid driving, ranked number one in accuracy last week, and a good short game where he ranked number one in scrambling in the Canadian Open, 8th in putts per green last week, and 3rd in that category in the US Open. He's played in this event the previous 2 times it's played at Liberty National and finished 8th and 15th. And comes here in better form this time around, arguably the best form he's ever been in. Another ranks highly, strokes gained tee to green, 14th in that category. He also ranks 2nd in scoring average, 5th in strokes gained total, and 11 strokes gained putting. Provided last 2 weeks are not taking their toll mentally, as being involved at the business end tournaments can do, then Simpson must have another solid week.
Okay, who else are you putting up? 2 more, isn't there?
Yeah, one guy, a much bigger price, Corey Connors. Season littered with missed cuts, but he managed to squeeze in a first tour title. He's shown up the last couple of weeks to warrant a second look. He's posted some solid numbers. Another ranks highly in the strokes gained tee to green category, currently sits at number 10. Brilliant iron play was the backbone of his success at the Texas Open, with 4 solid rounds of 69, 67, 66 and 66 don't tell the full story. He started his final round with 4 birdies in 5 holes, but followed that with 4 consecutive bogeys. And it was testament to his game and character that he found the strength to get the job done, posting 6 more birdies on the back 9 for a 2-shot victory. Of those 10 birdies, 7 were made with putts from less than 7 feet, and only 1 was over 15 feet. His approach play that day was absolutely superb. In recent efforts, he's ranked number 1 in greens in regulation on 2 occasions at the 3M Open and last week at the Wyndham. His last 8 rounds have been 67, 71, 70, 69, 69, 66, 65, 67. And if he has another good week with the putter, he ranked number 1 in Texas. He could make those 200 to 1 quotes look very big indeed.
Oh, that was very good, that 200 to 1.
I like very much Corey Connors, yeah.
You like him, do you?
Too surprised to see him put up, yeah.
Oh, excellent stuff, Glenn. And the other one?
Billy Horschel. Just a short one on him. A guy trending in the right direction. 9th and 6th last 2 starts. 6th in driving accuracy last week and 1st in putts per green in regulation. Could be handy stat if he could keep that going this week.
Didn't he win Didn't he win the whole shebang once, Billy Horsham?
Yeah, he won the whole shebang. He won two of the playoff events, didn't he? And got the whole lot done, yeah. God. I mean, he used to be a right head case back in the day. I can remember backing him probably his first season on tour, and he was like an inch away from snapping his clubs, and he led going into last round as a 151 chance and just completely lost it. But obviously, as he's adapted to tour, probably got a few quid in his back pocket. Cool. He's settled down and he comes across as a really nice, quiet sort of guy there. He's just a good golfer. So again, at 50 to 1, I think he'll have another good week as well.
Excellent stuff. Joe, as well as Rose, who else are you putting up?
Billy Horsham, as Glenn mentioned, he's one of mine. I'd also mention that he came from 69th at the start of the FedEx Cup in 2014 to win, which is comfortably the furthest back anyone's come from to net the big check at the end of it. So, when he gets in form, he really stays in form, Billy Horsham. He can go through months where he just misses cuts and, you know, struggles. But, yeah, once he clicks, he stays there for a long time. My next best bet is Adam Scott, who I've mentioned a couple of times that 2013 edition. He was the winner of that same year he won the Masters. And, you know, he's still one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour. He's been through his problems with a putter. We all know that. But, you know, he's an absolute class act, isn't he? And, you know, it's been 3 years since he won the title. But
well, that's a worry for me.
It is a worry. But, you know, I don't think Adam Scott has too many problems closing it out if he gets into contention. It's just he's got to get there and stay there.
I suppose his career had that hiccup, didn't it, with the old anchored putter.
Yeah, he's not the only person to fall foul of that rule. And
to learn to re-putt.
It's the right rule because it just looked ridiculous. He's coming out with those putters. But, yeah, he's played well this year. He's had 6 top 10 finishes from just 15 starts on the tour. And, he's finished 8th at Bethpage at the US PGA, so just down the road in New York. 2nd at Memorial and 7th at the US Open, so that's good form. Not so good recently, missed the cut at the Open, but 40th at the WGC. We can forgive him that, though. He finished with a 67, which is a positive closing effort. And Liberty National staged the 2017 President's Cup as well, and Glenn's waxed lyrical about Brooks Koepka. He took him down 3-2 in the singles that day on the Sunday, so... clearly likes the track, and we've talked about strokes gained tee to green. He ranks 7th in that. He's a class ball striker. Yeah, Adam Scott definitely has a shout.
And one more.
And the last one's Gary Woodland. US Open champion. He was fantastic at Pebble Beach, and he's got Brooks Koepka in his wing mirror, and he didn't flinch. I've always had Woodland down as a bit of a dodgy closer, but he just wasn't coming back to the field.
He must have been on a Steve Lowry-style bender afterwards. Miscut 50-50.
Completely different, I think. We've got the nappy factor working for us.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't have been allowed out, would he?
Well, particularly in Woodland's case, his wife thankfully gave birth to 2 healthy daughters last week. He spoke about how the last few weeks have been a nightmare for him. You know, US Open champion, he should be on cloud 9, really. But he's spent weeks and weeks worrying because when his first son was born, there were serious complications when he came along. And I think his wife miscarried shortly after that as well. So, you know, there's been a lot on his mind. And he described himself this week as feeling 100 pounds lighter with that weight taken off of him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, great guy, Gary Woodland.
Yeah, he does seem nice, doesn't he? Yeah.
So quite a big price, I think, if you if you can... forgive the last few weeks where he's clearly had other things on his mind.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, doesn't it? And again, if he wins at 66s, you're looking at yourself thinking, well, hang on a second, this bloke absolutely pissed up in the US Open. How have we allowed him off at 66?
The exact sort of track that should suit him as well.
Brilliant. Right then, a quick line on some of the other leading contenders. Glenn, what would you think about Rory? He's somewhere between 10 and 11 to 1. You got bitten with him last time. You going to leave him alone now?
Yeah, I'll leave him alone again. I mean, he'll probably be in the top 10 again, as he usually is, but... dodgy start of the Open derailed him there. And just last time out against Koepka, he's got a little bit. He looked a bit like a rabbit in headlights at times. So, yeah, he'll play. He always plays well. But will he play well enough to win? Not at that price for me, thank you.
Can you have John Rahm on your mind?
John Rahm was one of the last guys off my list. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he went close. Liberty National was on the Hudson, so it's coastal kind of. He loves that sort of test. You know, he's won 2 Irish Opens. He's won a Spanish Open by the coast. And, he's one of the best coastal players around, John Rahm. So definitely one for consideration. Okay. I just think he's the right price, though.
All right. Dustin, Glenn.
Dustin, again, no, not for me. He keeps changing his putter, allegedly. So until he gets that sorted out, and his driving hasn't been that good recently either. Obviously, one of the best on tour. his accuracy is not too good. So if he's going to be playing from the long stuff all the time, that's not going to help him out this week. So well, again,
the market's completely lost faith with him now, hasn't it? He's almost 20-1.
This is an event 3 months ago. He would have been favourite or joint favourite. All of a sudden, he's a 16-1 chance. So yeah, no one wants to know.
Okay, Joe, Justin Thomas, can you have him?
A man who is probably going to win soon, I think, but I'm just happy to leave him until he starts to get really close. You know, he was close up last time out. He's doing well on the stats. People will like him because of that. He's ranking highly recently in like Tee to Green and things like that. Just need to see him go out and do it now, though.
Okay, Glenn, Patrick Cantley.
Yeah, again, obviously he put him up when he won the Memorial. Absolutely fantastic final round. As you said that time, as he joined the golf elite, he probably has, but since then he's been very inconsistent. His putting's been a bit below average as well. I can leave him alone at the moment, but I'm sure he'll win again in the not-too-distant future.
Righty-ho, it being a big deal, this one, with all the world's best players, there's all sorts of derivative markets. Anyone anything you fancy, Joe, first-round leader, top this, top that, any three balls, any player you think might outperform their price?
Nothing mentioned in particular, yeah. I'll be having a look and covering it for the Racing Post.
You're on duty all week, are you?
So, yeah.
Steve's away.
Yep.
You must be due a holiday soon, Glenn, aren't you?
That little break, didn't I? In July, I missed one of these.
Did you? Who did it instead?
I think...
Who's your reserve?
We haven't got a stand-in, unfortunately.
No one can possibly follow you. You're such a hard act to follow. All right then, Glenn. Anything else you want to mention, mate? Anyone we should be watching out for? Top 20s or anything?
The guy that I put up last week, who is on my radar for some of those small events later in the season when their new season gets underway, Sepp Straka. I thought he played okay last week. He drives the ball a long way straight, generally. Short game wasn't in great order last week. But I might have a couple of quid on him at top Euro this week. He's 50-1 available out there. He's definitely a guy on my radar for the future.
I think I backed him. Did Steve put him up in a two ball on the Sunday? I think I backed him and he got absolutely wiped out by Hughes or someone anyway.
Him at the Barbasol, we finished third. That was not bad, yeah.
So he's on both your radars, is he? Blimey, alrighty. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. We're back next week for another Golf Postcard. Steve is back with Glenn, and we're looking ahead to the BMW Championship and also the European Tour have deigned to arrange an event. That's nice of them. We've got the D&D Real Czech Masters, Els, Harrington, Westwood and Bjorn. Blimey, there's some old timers there, so we'll have all the tips for that. And of course, the BMW join us for that. Give them the horn!